This is an Enterprise Times podcast sponsored by Unit 4. My name is Steve Brooks. Today, I'm talking to Manav Singh, General Manager, Global Head of PSA Suite at Unit 4. We will discuss how practice management and delivering professional services has changed as a result of the pandemic and lockdowns across the world. Hello, Manav.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I have about 12 to 15 years of experience working with professional services. Actually started my career with Bain and Company, so really was in the trenches when it comes to what professional services organizations go through and what the people experience. So quite passionately connected to this topic of PSA within the professional services space.
COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdown it's brought on has brought new challenges to many businesses, including professional services. As Europe starts to emerge from the crisis, working practices will have to change. We can already see that. As uncertainty starts to ebb away for professional services firms, the next new normal is starting to become more evident. Often firms have reacted to circumstances. There is now a window of opportunity to become proactive. What should professional services firms think about prioritizing, though?
It's a very new, interesting normal, which is creating all sorts of business challenges, especially when it comes to professional services organizations. In terms of how great professional services organizations are thinking about doing things and the areas they are prioritizing, there are at least three key trends that come out and that I acknowledge. The first is, this is the time for any professional service organization to really focus and strengthen their customer engagement. I cannot stress this enough on how important it is for professional services organizations to get really close to their existing customers and really act as a valuable advisor to their customers and really be seen in that role. The second point is a bit more operational, which is, in these times of challenging business settings, cash is king. We've seen numerous examples of professional services organizations where, given the business uncertainty, just business sustainability is a key issue. I feel that active cash management is something that professional services organizations need to be very proactive on and have a very tight control and visibility upon how is their business performing and what their cash position is. The third is, I think this is also a very good opportunity for professional services organizations to really take a step back and see how can they evolve their businesses. Although things will come back to some form of a normal, it's widely acknowledged that the new normal will be different than what we've seen in the past. This is where organizations should look at two key things. One is, how can they simplify and standardize their processes? Use a standard where they can and simplify their business operations. The second is to innovate on business models, is to really find, how can they find new business models to activate value pools that they've traditionally not acquired and not captured to really bring some long-term sustainability to their businesses?
First question I've got on that is around cash management. I assume you're talking about cash forecasting rather than looking at the current state of affairs, because that's how you manage your cash going forward. What are the levers that professional services leaders should be considering?
It has a couple of elements. Of course, there's an element of cash forecasting, because that just tells you, it's a proactive flag to see what your position is. What is more important is sort of an operational element of making sure that you as a professional services organization are collecting cash actively. What I really tangibly mean by that is this concept of smart invoicing. So let me give you an example here. In an accountancy firm, or that can be translated to other professional services organizations, there is a concept of WIP, which is work in progress. That is essentially services that have been delivered, but not yet have been invoiced to a customer. These are having a clear visibility on how many of these services have been delivered and not yet been invoiced can really have a substantial impact on how effectively a professional services organization is collecting cash, making sure that that business is sustainable, especially during these times where there is enormous amount of cash crunch, especially for a professional services organization.
I assume that expenses and the cadence of your period close for timesheets is critical within that.
Absolutely. There is one element of cadence of your timesheets being closed on time, but then also making sure that your expenses are tied into the same period. But then there are other nuances. For example, a professional services organization might purchase third-party services in terms of data or intelligence or analyst forecasts, etc., to help their customer with the end goal. And usually, these are the kind of things that sometimes have some sort of a delay and they don't get caught proactively. Being able to capture all of those really transforms what the industry calls WIP. The lower your WIP, the more actively you're invoicing and the tighter is your practice management.
You talked about simplify and standardized processes, but surely two things to this. How are they going to do that? But also, haven't those processes changed? Because haven't the ways of working changed? I mentioned expenses, but expenses are not going to happen almost certainly for a little while. Or if they are, they're a lot less because people are home working. How are they going to approach this? And what are they actually changing in the new normal?
You're absolutely right that processes will change. That's the reason why I said this is a window of opportunity for organizations to take a step back and really see what they can do long term. In a steady state business, it's very difficult, understandably, for professional services organizations to make disruptive changes to their processes. And usually, everyone possibly starts with an ambition of having a very simple process, but then reality of life takes its toll, and through how the organization evolves, things tend to get more complicated. Given that they are in a situation now where some of these things have automatically slowed down, it does give the organization a window to look at some of their key processes and essentially say, moving forward, when we do get back to some sense of normal, so in your example, the propensity of expenses comes back to the way it was, can we already adjust our processes to get us back to that nucleus of simplification so that when we do get back to business as normal, we are in a much better position than what the steady state would have lended itself to be?
You obviously work within a professional services environment yourself. What has changed within Unit 4 or a client with this change to remote working?
Let me give you one example in terms of processes. One of the impacts that we've seen is how customers want to resource their projects. Now, this is an internal process, which usually is just based on time and availability. That's the nucleus of the process, and it's usually then overlaid with some complexity around departments, physical availability, their location, etc. With one of our biggest customers in North America, they are really using this opportunity to pivot their resource management into more what I call skill-based resourcing. Given that location in these days of remote working is not really an issue, given that with flexible working, time spent on a project has a complete new definition, this is a customer that is simplifying their resourcing to purely base it on, we have a project to effectively deliver this project. Here are the skills that we need. And now let's find people within our global organization that we can use to create the ideal team that can deliver this project. Now, that process of how you find the resource and how you allocate them to a project looks very different with this new lens than what traditional resource management would look like in the past.
That surely also raises some new challenges because you're completely changing the management structure in a sense, whereas traditionally it was geographically based. Now you're saying that may no longer apply as people work with completely new people from within their organization. Is that a challenge?
I think to start off with, the challenge is about the new way of managing your team resourcing. I think that's the first step that is processed. That in itself has an element of change management and culture management. Thereon, the additional challenge that comes, and we hear this with our customers, is a challenge of how do you work with people that you would otherwise not have worked with. The simple example here is, right, if I get to work with a couple of consultants that sit around me, as a team, we have a shared understanding of the business. We have a shared understanding of what good looks like, and we have a shared understanding of how to operate. In the new normal, it is a step to get people onto the same page. There is an element of a culture of transparency that then needs to evolve to ensure that the new way of resource management also is effective and that it does not alienate people.
If you have these newly formed distributed teams, how do you ensure that they become high-performing teams, both from the point of view of culture, which is obviously a challenge if people have not worked before, but also from the point of view of control and management?
With what I just articulated, you're essentially moving into a more distributed organization. Professional services would move to a more distributed, with teams being more far away and collaborating remotely. The biggest challenge that the organization would have is how do they manage their traditional point of controls? This is where the point that I was mentioning around transparency really comes into play. The main aim for this would be to have all parts of your team know all elements of the business. Because essentially what you would need as a professional services organization, what you would really need to address is allow a model of distributed autonomy, almost distributed accountability, so that these teams, although they are more remote and further away from your traditional point of control, still have all the right intelligence, they have all the right information to make informed decisions that are in line with what the business actually needs. The ultimate end aim here for a professional services organization would be to crystallize a model where they allow for this distributed autonomy and accountability within their teams to be effective.
That answers the management side and the control side. But in terms of the team building, it's an aspect that I don't think we've touched on. It's new because we're not used to working with so distributed teams. How have you seen companies develop team building in this distributed environment?
We've seen this across the globe. Organizations have a newfound focus and a newfound interest in remote collaboration. These are leveraging all the tools in your backpack, whether it comes to your remote audio video capabilities, your remote collaboration, like collaborate whiteboards, things like that. But there are a lot of technology tools here that organizations are now actively consuming, because the key to be able to manage and ensure that a remote team like this has some sort of a culture is to give them any and all means that helps them collaborate more effectively. Breaking down the barriers of traditional email and wanting to have a face-to-face meeting, those are all the elements that are digitally being overcome. And it's almost as if organizations are going into this phase of a digital optimization when it comes to their people experience. The focus here is really on technology enabling remote collaboration. Those are the tools. But then there's also an element of very strong leadership to really push that message within the organization to get people on board. And I'll give you a very interesting example. With the lockdown happening, and of course, like all other businesses, our teams were all working remotely. We had a very simple rule, which is we don't have meetings without our cameras switched on anymore. And it's a very tiny, subtle change, but just having that as a rule ensures that you still have some form of that team connect with the people that you're working with. And you really sort of share the environment, as I like to put it. It's those subtle changes that are going to become actively more important in ensuring that you don't lose the essence of your team culture in this new way of working.
Do you think that technology can replace that physical human interaction? Or do you think we're going to be heading towards more of a hybrid in the future?
I am a firm believer of this statement. I don't think that a complete virtual experience will 100% replace the physical space and the human interaction. So I do think that we are going to move towards a hybrid. You could argue that we've always been in this hybrid. I have always worked with people remotely. So you could also argue that this was present in the past. The new hybrid will have a more balanced mix of how much of this is done more remotely and how much of this is done in more of a physical space. Both of those elements are going to balance themselves, but I don't think that we're going to move from one extreme to the absolute opposite extreme. I have a slight tangent to this, which is quite interesting, comes from the healthcare space. With the whole lockdown happening and the pressure on the healthcare system, telehealth has been one element which has existed for the past 10 years or so. But the amount that that one concept has advanced in the last 3 to 4 months has been more than what it has advanced in the last 10 years. Now, it doesn't mean that we would end a state where people will only see their doctors across a phone or a tablet or a laptop. But it will definitely create a new interesting balance of both the physical interaction and the virtual interaction and essentially take the best of what both worlds have to offer. That is the world in general will go towards.
We mentioned collaboration. Obviously, technology fulfills that completely at the moment. But are there any other areas that technology helps?
If I take a step back on this and look at a broader scope of professional services organizations, the new normal and the challenges that they face, absolutely collaboration is one peak that comes up. But more generally, technology can really help in creating this level of transparency that you need across a professional services organization in the new setting, in the new normal that we are talking about. That can be done by having technology enable a single source of truth across the value chain of a professional services organization's practice. Basic things like number of engagements, what are their financial profiles, utilization patterns, team skills, I talked about that a bit earlier, resourcing bottlenecks, invoicing and cash collection. All of those elements, having a streamlined, holistic view of your practice and making sure that it's not just available to the top 10 executives of the company or the top 2 or 5, but to right down to the actual consultant. Because I truly believe that nobody in a professional services organization wants to do a bad job. I truly believe that each one of those individuals are extremely motivated to do a good job and to make effective and informed decisions. What I do think they lack is the full transparency, is all the right information, all the right intelligence that gives them the tools to make that happen. So I think that is a key bit that technology can enable for a professional services organization. The second point that I could also mention is, this is the time for professional services organizations to be really value-added advisors to their customers. And they need to get closer to their customers. That, of course, means they need to free up time. And the easiest way to free up time within a professional services organization is to use technology to remove time spent on repetitive tasks or tasks that don't need manual intervention, that can be dealt on an exception basis. Having technology simplify time spent on those kinds of tasks will really open the bandwidth for people within professional services organizations to get closer to their customers and really get to know their businesses better which is what they would need from a long-term business sustainability and a business growth perspective.
Can they achieve that just by creating more complex spreadsheets?
The answer to that question is always no. And no, they can't. I'll tell you why. In any given professional organization today, there is no shortage of information. There is no shortage of applications. I have information within my Outlook because that's what I use to talk to my customers. I have information within my CRM because that's what tells me about what my engagement is. I have information in 5 other spreadsheets around what different teams are doing and things like that. And that's a very application view of the world. What professional services organizations really need to do is to look at this from a platform perspective. They need to see the interoperability or the interconnectedness of the different pieces of data that they have. And the challenge is to bring those together, because that is where you get the intelligence from. And that is what will enable the end state that I just articulated. And just having a bunch of different spreadsheets and all the data out there is not really going to help, because data without the right context does not deliver intelligence. The key part there is to get the context and the right data within that context across multiple sources. That is what drives business intelligence for me.
We've talked about process, technology, and information. But professional service organizations are really all about the people. What are the changes that organizations need to make in this new working environment for their people, and to ensure their people are engaged and that they can retain them and then obviously recruit going forward?
Great question, Steve. I've probably already mentioned this at least 5 times, and in that case, apologies for repeating. But the first thing that comes to my mind is simplifying processes. We've seen a numerous amount of examples where professional services organizations have processes that are overly complicated, and that becomes a key friction point for their people, either in terms of their time spent or in terms of their experience. And I think this is a great window of opportunity for any organization to really take a hard look at their processes and really use a standard where possible. I can completely appreciate that that doesn't happen all the time, but where it can, it really should. A business process is not a differentiation for any professional services organization. It doesn't add any value to the end customer. And I really believe that organizations should take this opportunity to simplify any process that they can. The second is, this is a time where it is all about the people within your organization. People experience, and we as Unit 4 truly believe in this, people experiences at this time are absolutely critical. So professional services organization, in terms of the tooling that they put in terms of the process that they put in, they need to be very mindful and empathetic towards the people experience that their end consultants would have. I always ask this question. I'll give you an example. It is very common in a professional services organization. I have to set up a conversation with a customer. I go to my Outlook. I'll probably send them an email. I'll probably send them a meeting invite from my Outlook, at which point of time that is time spent. So now I have to replicate that same time entry into a CRM. I would have to replicate that same time entry into my project management tooling so that my project manager knows how much time is being spent. And I would have to replicate that when I do my timesheets, for example. That is 3 actions for the same activity that I did. This is where you can have tools and you can have technology really save all of that and create a people experience that is seamless. That doesn't matter what application you're interacting with, but really give them the feeling that they are spending time on things that are most valuable to them. And don't lose the sight of an individual, because when we talk about technology, it's very easy to talk about enterprise view of the technology, all focused on creating value for the enterprise. but we should not lose sight of the individual in that process. And that is why I feel fairly strongly about making sure that you have the right people experience.
You're talking about UI and UX, aren't you? The user interface and the user experience. Because if you get that right, then adoption is assured. If you don't have adoption, the technology will fail in most cases, won't it?
Yes, UX and UI are definitely one component of it. And that's all about ease of use. That is just about the three buttons that I need to click show up nice and big. And I don't have to click six, I have to click three. That's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is really, this is what I strongly believe in, is no one person within a professional services organization, so an individual consultant, you know, they work with multiple different environments and multiple different applications. We all tend to use a lot of different applications. But when it comes to doing our job effectively, what you essentially need is not having to replicate some of the actions that you need to do back and forth. So having technology enable that improves your UX. I wouldn't say the UI, but more of the UX. It is definitely something that adds to the experience of the user and the customer. So that is definitely one component of it. The second component of it would be with these tools, you also have the right information available for you so that you are better positioned to do your job well, whether that means giving a more informed advice to your customer. If you're a project manager, whether that is being able to see that a project is running into issues before it runs into an issue, there could be different applications of this. But it also means that you have more connected information and contextual data at your disposal to really make yourself effective in a professional services organization. And the individuals in a professional services organization are probably some of the most driven individuals that we have, with how invested they are in doing a good job. Allowing them and giving them the tools and the information to do that would really benefit, would really help, especially in these times where people think that they're working in a vacuum and they don't quite know what's happening around them.
What's the first step a professional services firm leader should take? And secondly, what can the ordinary consultant do to ensure his or her place in the changed organization?
As a leader of a professional services organization, the biggest word or the biggest topic on top of mind for any leader should be the culture of transparency. I have seen that happen inside Unit 4. I have seen that happen with some of our key customers and some of the key global leaders, not necessarily in professional services, but any good leader out there today or any good leader in a political landscape, for example. Driving a culture of transparency is absolutely critical in these current times. You should not underestimate the power of being able to effectively communicate the health of your business and your plans on how do you plan on sustaining this or course correcting this. In a lot of times, it's also about course correction because there are a lot of businesses that are struggling at this point of time. But being very transparent about that within the entire organization should be the biggest topic that any leader should be focused on. From a consultant perspective, as if you're an end consultant, as times are changing, you should stop seeing yourself as a vehicle for service delivery. You should stop seeing yourself just as a person to do a few tasks for your customer. You really need to evolve into what I call a connected advisor for your customer. You're connected to your customer's business. You understand their context. You're also connected internally within your practice with all the expertise and the knowledge and the intelligence that you have so that you can really pick the most valuable pieces of advice that your customer needs in their business context, because that is what they're going to value. Consultants, they need to stop seeing themselves as just a person to do tasks for their customers, but really take an active role as a connected advisor, because that is the need of the hour and that is what businesses need to see these times through.
Manav, thank you very much.
Steve, thank you very, very much. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today.